Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
All right. We always want to be going higher. We always want to be growing. We always want to be further in our relationship with Jesus than we were yesterday, right? And so the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse number 10, this is such powerful scripture. Most of us in here probably have it memorized. It says, the thief comes. The thief comes. You know, I want you to notice there's an S on the end of that word because he keeps coming. He's never going to not come. It says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is Jesus talking. He said, I have come. Jesus only had to do it once. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. To the full. Doesn't that sound good? How many know full is better?
Yes.
Full is better. How many know a full bank account is better? Right? How many know a full glass of iced tea is better? Amen. I mean, full is better. Full is better. Full is better. And so Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. We're supposed to be so full that we spill out. We spill out. We spill out in every area. And so the thief comes, and he keeps coming, and he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And that's a perfect way to know if something is God's will or not. If it steals, kills, or destroys, it's not God's will. That's the thief coming. If it steals, if it kills, or it destroys, if it steals your confidence, that's fear. That's not from God. If it tries to destroy something in your life, your body, your finance, it's not from God. And so Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now that word full there, we're going to get Greeky in here today. You guys ready to get Greeky? So that word full, what it means is super abundant. Isn't that a great word? Super abundant in quantity or superior in quality. Isn't that good? Super abundant in quantity or superior in quality. And so Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it super abundant in quantity. You're always going to have more than enough. Yeah. And superior in quality. It's always going to be better. Amen. Amen. What God does is always better than anything the world or the enemy can do.
Amen.
It's always going to be better. And so we've got to ask ourselves, when we're stressed out, we're worried, we're broke, we're wounded, we're hurting, we're wanted, we're depressed, what's wrong here? Because Jesus already came. Jesus already came. What we've got to really kind of locate ourselves and say, all right, I want to live this life that Jesus came for me to have. He came. We know the enemy's defeated. We know Jesus has come. We know the will of God. Now we need to make sure we're operating in it.
Yes.
In that superior and full in quantity and quality, that full life. Our marriages should be superior.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Should be superior. Our intellect, superior. Our wisdom, superior. Amen. If anybody's going to know, it should be a child of God that knows.
Amen.
Amen. It should be a child of God. And that's why, you know, I'm very, very, very rarely political. Because God spoke to me. He said, listen, you're in the eternity business, not the temporary business. And people that get elected, that's temporary. But we're still supposed to pray. But I just want to say this. You know, a lot of people have a lot of things to say about President Trump and bringing all the pastors together, and they're giving the pastors who win a hard time and all that. But listen, any opportunity these men of God and women of God have to speak into the very ear of the most powerful man in the world, so to speak, they need to take it.
Yes. Amen. Come on.
Because if anybody's going to have the wisdom, shouldn't it be a child of God?
Yes.
Children of God hear from God himself. And so we're going to have that full life. It's going to be superior in quality. The wisdom those people have may not come from degrees and higher education. It comes from a higher place. Amen. So whether we agree or disagree, like or dislike, man, let's rejoice that people that are speaking and hearing from God have the opportunity to speak into the highest place in the land.
Yes.
Amen. Let's rejoice in that.
Yes.
Let's rejoice in that. Because it's a God thing. It's a God thing. And you say, well, I don't like President Trump. Who cares? Who cares who you like and who you don't like? It is not the point. The point is it's a spiritual battle and we're in it.
Right.
Amen. The point is it's a spiritual battle and we are in it. You're either going to fight or you're going to lay down and give up. And complaining is not fighting.
Hello.
It's not fighting. It's not fighting. Being in the spirit is fighting. Amen. It's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war. I don't know how I got over there. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help us. Glory to God. Listen, there might be a whole lot of things that a whole bunch of us don't like or whatever. That's not the point. It's not the point. The point is that we're in a spiritual battle for the world, not just our nation. For the world, and you say, oh, you're being dramatic. No, I'm being realistic.
Yeah.
And we got to fight that. We got to get past our feelings, past our, I don't like this. I don't like that guy. I don't like this. Man, kick yourself in the butt past that and be like, I may not like it. I may not like this person. I may not like things they've done. I may not like this, but it's not about what I like. I'm in a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fight the battle. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight it in the spirit.
Right.
I'm not going to fight it on Facebook. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. For goodness sake, say amen.
Amen.
You know, the thing about it is that most of the people you're posting to on Facebook, they're your friends and they already think like you do. Right? Now, God has really called some people and is using them on Facebook. You know, praise the Lord. If you're one of those people, man, you know it. But if you're just picking a fight, you also know it. Amen. You're gonna get a lot more done on your knees away from that Facebook.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And right there, I'll stop meddling. I'll stop meddling right there. Amen. All right. But we need to add, glory, glory. I don't, you know, and again, you say, you know, I get a hard time. People say, you need to be more political. You need to do this. First of all, don't tell me what I need to do. All right? God tells me what I need to do. Amen? But, you know, there's a time and place, and God uses some amazing men and women of God in a political way. The Lord specifically spoke to me during the election last time and just said, this, you know, who gets elected is temporary. What's happening has an eternal effect, though. Amen? What's happening has an eternal effect. It's affecting people in their eternity. And so we need to be wise. We need to be wise and we need to fight for spiritual things.
Yes.
But I just encourage you, just make sure you're not so far over in your feelings that you're out of the spirit. You know, you're so far over and I hate this guy that you're out of the spirit. Because we're not going to get anything done. As believers, we fight in the spirit.
That's right.
That's where we fight. That's where we fight. It's a spiritual battle. We don't fight men. We fight powers and principalities. Amen. We stand in the spirit. And so I just encourage you in that. And on that note, come on, Jesus, let me get back to this message. Please.
Elevate.
Elevate, Lord. Let's elevate. But, you know, we need to ask ourselves, really, and it's a question we ask ourselves, why are some areas of our life are we not living to the level God has for us to live? Why are we not doing that? And so today I want to tackle really one of the biggest reasons. And it's not God's fault. Amen. If you're blaming God, you're wasting your time. It's not God's fault. Jesus has done all that he's going to do. But more importantly, he's done what's needed to be done. You're not waiting on somebody to open a door for you. God's already opened it. Amen. You're not waiting for forgiveness. You've already received it. Amen. You're not waiting on power. You already have it. Right? You got the greater one living on the inside of you. If we have the greater one on the inside of us, for goodness sake, what else do you think is coming? Amen? There's nothing better coming. You know, it reminds me of my dog Fluffy, one of the best dogs ever. You know, she's in heaven laying on my couch in my mansion. I believe that. I don't want to hear anything different. But my dog Fluffy, she died years ago, but she was such a trip because everybody would get a treat and they'd go to eat their treat, but she would always come back because she always thought something else was coming. Something better was coming, you know? And I would look at her and be like, nothing better is coming. You need to take this. Listen, nothing better is coming. There is no one better. There is no one better. We have the greater one in us. Amen? We have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling on the inside of us. There is nothing better. There's nothing better. You know, sometimes I remember standing at the bookstore and I was looking on the, and God uses books, and thank God for that. God's used some powerful books in my life that have changed my life by different people, and of course the Word. But I was looking for a book on a particular subject about something I was going through, and I was looking, and the Holy Ghost just on the inside of me said, you have what you need. You have what you need. He's in me. Amen. Nothing better is coming. And so it's not God's fault. We need to ask ourselves why. But here's the reason, and I believe this, because we're starving ourselves spiritually. You're starving yourself. If we could see ourselves in the spirit, we need to think, man, what would I look like? Would I look like one of those little starving peep kids they put on TV? You know, which is just a heartbreaker. Would I look like that? You know, I'm a big Survivor fan. Me and Faith, we're like Survivor fans. We like Survivor. And here's the thing. On Survivor, any other Survivor fans in here? Really? Nope. Faith, you got me, right? You got me. So Faith and I are Survivor fans. She's probably a bigger fan than I am, but I've just recently become a fan last couple years. But one of the things that happens is that they don't eat a lot. They should open a Survivor weight loss. You know, I mean, it would be better than any diet because these people lose so much weight because they don't eat a lot. And, you know, because they're on Survivor. And so anyway, but one of the things that happens to them, and I was watching the show and I was like, man, this is crazy. We probably have never, I know I've never experienced it. I've never experienced starvation or the symptoms ever. Not even close. Not even close. I had somebody ask me one time, they said, well, what happened? There was like somebody important, like a doctor or something. They were like, well, what do you do when you get really, really hungry? And I was like, not sure I've ever really experienced that, you know, to be honest. I was being honest with them. I need to, though. I need to. And so anyway, I was watching these people on Survivor, and the less they eat and the skinnier they get, here's what happens. Their mind begins to fog. Yep. They can't think. They can't think straight. They get super emotional. They're super emotional. Their body gets very weak. Things that they could do, they can no longer do. And on the last days, like it's 39 days, so in the last competitions, you know, the guy, Jeff Probst, he will say, he'll be like, you know, how's your thinking going? How's that going? And they'll be like, man, I can't even put two thoughts together. It's, you know why? They're starving. And so you want to wonder why you're not operating at the level spiritually that you want to operate. You're on Survivor. You're starving yourself spiritually. And then you're wanting to lift heavy weights. You know, you're wanting to run the race. Man, you can't run when you're starving. You can't do it. And so we need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, man, what do I look like spiritually? What does my spiritual body look like? Is it weak and malnourished? Because if it is, that's my problem. I can't do the things I want to do. I can't live the fullness that Jesus has for me, because my spiritual tank is so low. Just like your car, no matter how good it looks on the outside, without gas on the inside, it's just a pretty car. It's just a pretty car. Man, I don't want to be just a pretty Christian. Although I am. right? I don't want to be that. I don't want to be so concerned with the outside that I forget on the inside. I'll never forget one day I was at Bible college and we had this teacher, man, you either loved him or you hated him. He was very polarizing. I loved him because I like rules. I'm a rule follower, you know? That's just my personality. And this guy was, he's just intense. And so these two ladies they were late every class. They were late. And so they'd come in, and they were, like, decked out to the nines. This is back, you know, we had to wear suits and all this to school. And so they looked fantastic on the outside, but they were late. And so it happened several times. And then finally they come walking in. They had hats on, you know, the whole thing, right? And so they come walking in, and he stops the whole class. And he says to him, if you don't change your priorities, you're going to be bankrupt in life. And of course, they were very offended. This guy offended people all the time. And he told him, he said, you're more concerned with what's on the outside than you are about your character and your integrity and the commitment that you need to make to these classes because you're late all the time because you take too long getting ready. They were real pretty on the outside. But he stopped the whole class and called them out, which I was just like, if that would have been me, I would have never went back. I mean, I would just be mortified, right? You know? And come to think of it, I don't know if I saw those guys again. I don't know. You know? I think if I did, they didn't look the same because they Who's the new girl, right? No. But the thing was, is that he was saying what is so important. Listen, it doesn't matter how great we look on the outside. I mean, it's great to look great on the outside. And, you know, when people that are real schlumps, they're always like, oh, God looks at the heart. Yeah, he does. But people look at the outside, you know. You want to be able to deal with people. You need to at least look good, right? Do the best you can with what you got, right? Do the best you can with what you got. But the thing is, let's not do that and totally sacrifice the inside. Where the inside is starving, it's on its last, you know, it's like, you know, your last morsel of, you know, you're just starving spiritually. And then we're running around going, oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, and Jesus is like, you need to feed yourself spiritually. You can't bypass that. You can't bypass that. You got to feed yourself. And that's why just in coming to prayer, people that are starting to come to prayer and make that commitment and getting prayer going, man, they're already seeing big things happening in their life. What happened? They're getting meals. Because here's the other thing that happens on Survivor, right? After you get voted off and you haven't washed your hair, you haven't taken a shower, you've lost like 20 pounds, whatever, you're looking pretty rough, right? Then they go to what's called the Ponderosa, right? Faith and I know this. They go to the Ponderosa, and then they get to come back if they're on the jury. And they come back, and sometimes it's like, who is that person? They look completely different. And you know what? If you will go, here's why they look different. Because they go and they get all the food they need. They go and they get all the rest they need. They go and they get all the, on the inside and the outside. And you know what? That's why a lot of times when somebody starts spending time with God and you start praying and you start spending time in the Word and feeding yourself spiritually, suddenly people are like, man, there's something different about you. You might look the same on the outside, but there is something different about you that's coming from the inside out. It's because you're getting fed. You're getting fed. When we say, man, why am I, why? Everybody's like, why, God, why? A lot of times it's like you're starving yourself. You can't reach what God has because you're too weak spiritually. We're too weak. And so we need to ask ourselves, how many days can I go without natural food? Some of us probably a little longer than others, right? You know, you can't go forever. You can't go forever, and you can go even less time without water. You can go even less time. We need to ask ourselves, man, when's the last time I really looked at my spiritual diet and the consistency of it? You know, if our idea of of spiritual food is a bag of peanut M&Ms, and that's it? If that's all somebody ate, we'd be like, that's not good. That can't be good for you. That can't be good for you. Well, if all we're eating is spiritual junk food, that's not good for us either. And when I take that back, it's not spiritual junk food. But listen to me. If you hear anything I say, hear this. If all you're listening to is what makes you feel good, then you're just getting all desserts every day. Because there's a lot of dessert in the Word. There's a lot of dessert in the Word. There's a lot of milk in the Word. But you know what? There's scriptures that I read, and man, they pierce my heart, and they locate me, and I say, and I weep, and I say, Lord, thank you. Because it shows me I need to change. Because the Word is supposed to be a mirror. And when I look into it, it shows I need to see where I'm at and where the Word is and what the distance is. And I want to close that gap to the best of my ability. But if all I'm hearing is how much God blesses me and how much God loves me, those are good things. Those are great things, and we need to hear that. But I also need to hear the power of repentance. I also need to hear about sin. Yeah. And the danger and what it does in my life. I also need to hear about the consequences of disobedience. I also need to hear where Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. I need to hear that too. Those are the Brussels sprouts of the Word right there. Right? It's like, ooh, that's tough. That's a tough one. But I'm gonna get it down. We don't want to always just hear what we want to hear. Yes, God loves you, and we need to hear that. Yes, God is for you, and of course we need to hear that. But there is an accountability to the things of God as we grow that we also need to hear. Amen. We need a balanced diet. You don't want to get only on that, because then you're going to get so legalistic and so sin conscious that you're going to be rigid. You're going to be rigid. We need a full, just like we need a balanced diet, we need a balanced diet of the Word. Amen. Need a balanced diet of the Word. And so if we're not where God wants us to be, and Jesus already said, I came to give you life and life to the full, super abundant in quantity and superior in quality, how do I get there? You know, let's not just tell everybody, hey, you're starving spiritually, and not tell you how to get there. And so number one thing, to walk in the fullness, we must keep ourselves full. Amen. That's deep. Woohoo! To walk in fullness, we got to keep ourselves full. Wouldn't it be great if, you know, just like your dashboard of your car, it tells you how much gas you have, you know, tells you how much everything you have. Wouldn't it be great if there was a spiritual dashboard of our life and it said, you know, you're doing pretty good with prosperity. You're doing good with healing. You're not so good with obedience, you know. And it just showed us where we were on every area, where we could balance it out. Well, you know what? We got to keep ourselves full. And the way, what we need to increase, look at your neighbor and say, get ready. This is a message you've heard 100 times, and I will preach it 100 more times because it is how we do it. You need to increase your Word intake.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It's amazing to me how many believers we don't read the Word. It's amazing. We want to be fed all the time. Feed me, feed me. Remember that movie with the big Venus flytrap? Feed me, Seymour, feed me, right? That's us. That's us. But you know what? It's, you know, I said this on Wednesday night. You know, babies, they need to be fed. You know, you do the helicopter and feed them and get them to eat different things. And that's what you do, right? But if you're a healthy adult, and somebody's still helicoptering your food to you, how many know there's a problem? There's something wrong there, right? There's something seriously wrong there. They say, well, why are you letting, oh, because I like to be fed. Who doesn't want to lay down and have somebody feed them grapes and fan them like on TV, right? Listen, we've got to be able to feed ourselves. Amen. We got to be able to feed ourselves. And the way that we feed ourselves is not complicated. It's not that difficult. Just like little kids, you have to feed them for a while, and then you put that Cheerio on their little high chair, and next thing you know, they look at it. What do? They pick it up, and they eat it. Right? And we're all like, oh, they ate a Cheerio. Right? Well, you know what? You're getting fed in here this morning, but you need to go home. You need to open up that word. You need to pick it up, and you need to eat it. Because I don't live with you. I don't live with you. You can say it. Thank God. I don't live with you. I can't say, all right, time to eat. Let's go. Let's read that word. Let's do it. Let's get it done. That's not going to happen. And you say, well, I do this. And everybody's like, oh, I watch this person. I watch that. Listen, getting a 3 or 4 minute clip off of Facebook is not a balanced diet. I don't care who the speaker is. If it's Joyce Meyer, if it's Stephen Furtick, those people are fantastic. And God has gifted them. And praise God, let's get those snacks. But that's what they are. Those are snacks. We need to eat ourselves. Amen. We need to be able to feed ourselves through the word. And so here's reasons why people don't read their word. You know, I've heard a lot of excuses. I've said a lot. They say, I won't understand it. These are myths and lies to stop you from reading the word of God. Say, I won't understand it. I'm too busy. People say, I read it yesterday. Well, you ate yesterday, but you're probably going to eat today, right?
How about that?
And here's one of the biggest lies. It's an old book, and it's not applicable today. But here's what we have to understand. The enemy's plan is to keep you blind, ignorant, dumb, and deaf to the promises of God. And you know why he wants to keep you blind, deaf, dumb, and ignorant? So that he can dominate you. So that he can dominate and control you. That's why. That's why, do you know that the Bible, that we all, you know, everybody, you guys know who Martin Luther is? Not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther. He came beforehand, right? A lot of people don't know that. That's okay. You don't know because you don't know. Now you know, right? But he was, you know, it's a whole story. We don't have time to get into it. But he nailed pages of the Bible to the wall for people to see and started a revolution. Because he knew the importance of people having access to the Word of God. Before that, you had to get it from someone else. Listen, the Bible is designed for you to get it for you. For you to get it for you. Jesus said in John 8:32, he said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then you'll know the truth. You know where we find the truth? In the Word. And here's a powerful scripture. I encourage everybody to write this down. It's Romans chapter 1, verse number 25. Romans chapter 1, verse number 25. We got it up here? They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. There are people doing that every day, all the time, over and over and over and over again. They're exchanging the truth about God for a lie. We're believing lies that are so contrary to the Word of God and saying, well, that's how it is. That's all kind of crazy stuff. We got to get back to the Word.
Yes.
And if you don't get to the Word, you're going to let the world tell you how to live. And I tell you, I don't want the world to tell me how to live. God has prepared this amazing feast for us to come and eat his goodness from the written word. It's an amazing feast. It's not fast food. It's not microwave food. It is not that. This is the kind, you know, if you ever, you know, years ago, so long ago, every year around October, Dolores Richardson, who's a beautiful woman, and now is not able to be here, but for years, she would invite us over for dinner. And it was her way of showing her appreciation. And Dolores grew up and she did a lot of hospitality work with high-end hotels and things like that. And she was just an amazing cook. And we would go to her house and she would just, we were, it's like we were eating at the nicest, most fancy place in the world. It was just all this amazing food, and she would cook for days, and it was delicious, and it was just incredible. And we felt so loved every time we would go. Every time. And she did it all the way up until she could not physically do it anymore. Oh, yeah, that cornbread. Oh, Jesus. I do have the recipe for that. All right, I shouldn't, but I do. You know, there's some things, you know, it's like people are like, oh, do you want the recipe? Lord, help me. Say no. I don't need that because then I'll make it at home, right? You know, that'd be terrible because it's so good. I make it all the time. But the thing is that this beautiful, I mean, you just walk in and just be like, oh. I mean, when's the last time you went to even Chick-fil-A and you were like, oh. We don't do that. Why? Because it's fast food. It's fast food. And you know what? When you read the Word of God, it's God has placed this elaborate, beautiful meal that he has prepared for you. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes. Amen? Taste and see. Psalms 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. But do you know what happens? You know, I cook. I like to cook too. And I have my family over and I make big meals and things like that. I like doing that. But you know what's funny? And anybody else who's in here and you make big meals, you put a lot of time, you put a lot of effort, you spend a lot of money. And then somebody, some little kid, I mean, you've got like literally filet mignon, and they're like, can I have a cookie? They don't want that. They don't want what's good. They just want something else, right? But you know what? We do that to the Word of God all the time. We do that to the Word. And then we're wondering, man, why am I not? Why am I not? And the Lord's like, you keep taking a cookie and not eating the meal. Hello. Amen? We need the meal. We need the meal. And we're going to get the meal when we spend time in the Word. Too many people want to take a shortcut. But we need to daily come into the presence of God and feed from his Word. How are we going to get stronger spiritually? We got to make sure we're eating the right stuff. We got to come in. There is no shortcut. There's no drive-through. There's no microwave. We need to make an investment. An investment. Right? Step by step. Here a little. Here a little. Amen? Brother Hagin used to say that. You go step by step. Step by step. Step by step. You know, to know the Word is to know Jesus. To know the Word is to know Jesus. We're talking about how to elevate our lives, how to elevate ourselves. First thing is we got to walk in the fullness of God. We got to get full. We got to get full of the right thing, right? You know, I always joke and say, man, you're going to be full of something, right? We know people are full of a lot of things. Let's be known for being full of Jesus, right? You know, the Bible says that with the disciples, I think it was Peter and John, the Bible says that it was evident that they had been with Jesus. It was evident that they had been with Jesus. Let's make it evident that we're spending time with God, that we're full of the Word of God. But to know, and the second thing to elevate our life is to realize to know the Word is to know Jesus. John 1:1-4 says, now listen, this is powerful. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you get that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You want to know how to get darkness out of your life, how to overcome darkness? get more word in you. Yes. Amen. You ever have a flashlight and the batteries are dim? What happens? It doesn't work that well. Why? Because it's not fully charged. Ooh, did you get that? We're like, I'm a light in the darkness. And it's just like a little dull, barely got any power light. You gotta, but we're rechargeable.
Yeah.
Amen. I am rechargeable. You are rechargeable. And we need to plug into the word. We need to plug into the presence of God and get recharged. Because when you're recharged, your light's going to be a whole lot brighter. Amen. It's going to be a whole, you're designed to be a bright light. And so the word, the Bible says in John 1:14, the word became flesh. The word is Jesus. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Who's that? That's Jesus. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And so when I know the word, I know Jesus. How am I going to get to know Jesus better? I'm going to spend more time in the word. Reading the word draws me closer to Jesus and knowing him. Just like spending time with people, you get to know them. You get to know them. If somebody, if a first timer were to come in here and they were to walk up and say, hey, I heard Pastor Peggy loves cats and hates dogs. Anybody that knows me would be like, you would tell that person, what? What? Now, I have really started liking cats. I feed this one that comes here. That's me. That's me. But I love dogs. I love dogs. I like dogs really more than most people, to be honest with you. You know? You know, they don't talk back. They're super sweet, you know? But the thing is that how do you know that? It's because you know me. And so then we're like, you know, with Jesus, if you're always wondering, is it God's will? Is it God's will? Is that God speaking? Is that the enemy speaking? Is it me speaking? Who's speaking? Who's speaking? Man, the more you know Jesus, the more you recognize his voice. How do you get to know Jesus? You spend time in his word. Amen? You spend time in the word. The third thing, let's elevate. Let's go. Let's go. Summer's over. Let's kick it into gear. We got things to do. We got places to go. God wants to do some things in our life. He wants to change some things. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us to get full. To get full, to quit walking around, barely able to move, barely able to get anywhere because we're so weak spiritually. Man, I don't want to be so weak that one little bump the enemy throws out and I'm on the ground crying. Man, let's not let that be us.
Amen.
Let's not let that be us. Let's be strong spiritually. Amen? And so the other thing is we got to highly value. Say highly value.
Highly
value the impact of the word upon our life. You got to highly value the impact. You got to recognize the word has an impact on your life. It's going to impact me. If we would realize the impact things have on our lives, we'd be much more selective of what we let in. Much more. I'm going to tell myself. I'm gonna tell myself a little bit. You know, I'm pretty selective what I watch on TV. And I don't say that to be like, look at me. I don't say that. I say that because, you know, I've grown. I've grown through some things. And as you grow, you begin to recognize things that, you know, that's just not good for me. And so the other day I was home and I hardly ever watch anything that I don't record. I don't watch anything I don't record. And I usually always check things, like I'm plugged in, IMBD. Here's a newsflash. You can check things before you watch them. Somebody's like, oh, that show was so bad, but I didn't know. Well, that's on you. Because you can check. And you can see how much, what it has in it. And then you can make a decision whether you're going to let it in or not. So anyway, so I was watching this. I turned the TV on, and there was something on, and I had heard about this show, and It was a special. It was on regular TV. You know, I think, oh, it's going to be okay, regular TV. And so it's on regular TV. I don't check it. I don't check it. And I start watching it, and I'm watching, like, probably 10 minutes, which is probably 9 too many, right? Probably 9 too many. But I'll tell you what I'm going to tell myself. That impacted me. Because from that, now, it was on regular TV. It wasn't like Game of Thrones or anything. It wasn't that. And if you watch that, you need to pray, all right? And if that offends you, then that's on you, you know? But that's another message. But the thing is that show, because I don't like a lot of dark crime, but it was a dark crime story. And it wasn't real. It wasn't based on reality or anything like that. But for like 3 days later, I kept having the thoughts of that show kept coming back. Because I turned it off, but it was a mystery. How many know the enemy? Curiosity killed the cat for a reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen, curiosity to take you places you shouldn't go. And I kept trying to think, well, what was it? What was it that caused that to happen, you know, because it was a mystery. And I started thinking, it was like it was a dark thing. And I tell you what, it affected me. It got into my thought life. And I said, oh, Lord, I repent. I should have never watched that show. For me, it wasn't good for me. It impacted me. It impacted me. You think things don't impact you? You are foolish.
Hello.
You feed yourself on romance novels of adultery and sexual sin and all that, and you don't think that impacts your marriage? You're lying to yourself, ladies. Ladies. Men are like, oh, men have pornography. Ladies, ours just comes in a different way. Ours comes in a different way. There are stories. You say, oh, it's just a story. It's a story that will impact you. We need to understand the power of things that impact us. There are some things that have no place. And, oh, man, I repented. It was here in prayer. I was standing right over there, and thoughts of that stupid TV show were coming to my mind while I was praying in the Spirit. And I was like, what the heck? What in the world? And I repented. There's power in repentance.
Amen.
There's power in repentance.
Yes.
When you recognize you do wrong, go to Jesus.
Yes.
Repent. The Bible says times of refreshing come.
Yes.
But I tell you, the enemy's trying to bring that. But so don't fool yourself into thinking, oh, it's not a big deal. It impacts you. It changes the way you think. Our culture changed after certain TV shows made things normal. Our culture changed because we let it into our house every day. And once we let it into our house every day, then when we saw things out in the world, we're like, oh, it's okay. Things impact us. They impact us. And so if things like that can impact us, imagine the power of the Word of God and the power that it has to impact us.
Yes.
Amen? Never underestimate the power of the Word to change your life. Amen? Now I want you to turn to your Bibles, and we got to close up here to Psalms 119. How many know what Psalms 119 is? The longest book in the Bible. The longest chapter. Longest chapter in the Bible. It has more verses in it than 14 of the Old Testament books and 17 of the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's an interesting thing. You guys want to be wowed? Here we go. Psalms 119. It has 176 verses. They are divided into 22 stanzas. One stanza, here you go, for each letter of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. Within each stanza, each of the 8 verses begins in Hebrew with that letter. And many people believe that King David wrote Psalms 119 and was teaching his son the alphabet. Right? But there's power in Psalms 119. And so I'm going to tell you the result in your life if you read and invest in the Word, because Psalms 119 tells us. And I have them all up here for you. Here we go. You got that big long list? Okay. The Word will cause you to Ready? Be happy and blessed. This is all in just Psalms 119. Be happy and blessed. Do no wrong, but follow his ways. Not be put to shame. Stay on a path of purity. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Not sin against God. Obey the word. Be preserved. Be strengthened. Keep from deceitful ways. Broaden your understanding. Find delight in life. That's a good one. Keep you from pursuing selfish gain. Keep your eyes from worthless things. Understand God's unfailing love. Walk in freedom. Have hope. Be comforted. Obey and live a life according to the word. Have knowledge and good judgment. Not to perish when affliction comes. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be wiser than your enemies. Have more insight than all your teachers. Have more understanding than your elders. Keep your feet from every evil path. Isn't that good? Have joy in your heart. Be supported. Be delivered. Hate every wrong path. Have light and understanding. Have your steps to be directed by the Lord. Isn't this good? Not have sin rule over you. Hate and detest falsehood. Have great peace.
Yes.
Not stumble. Be delivered. Overflow with praise. We're getting to the end. Is that the last one? Okay. And so just right here, and there's a whole bunch more, but I only did these for this. That's just from this portion of Scripture. If you think about it, look at all God can do and wants to do in your life when you read his word. And if you read that and you said, I don't have those things, it's because you need more word in your life. This isn't a, you know, get it together. No, this is a, hey! You know, everybody's like, when they get a new supplement or they get a new diet pill or they get something new, they're like, you want to tell all your friends about it. But you know what? I want to tell all my friends. You want to know how my life changed? You want to know how God works in my life? You want to know how I'm still standing after some of the things I've been through? It's from the word.
Yes.
It's the word.
Yeah.
The word will change you, it will strengthen you, it will comfort you, it will do everything you need it to do, but it can't do it on its own. You got to do it. You got to feed yourself. The enemy doesn't want you to eat from the Lord's table of goodness. He doesn't want that. He just wants you to keep hearing what makes you comfortable. And listen, what makes you comfortable does not change you. Doesn't change you. What makes you comfortable does not change you. Doesn't change you. It just leaves you sitting where you are. And so last thing, let's be aggressive and pursue the Bible on a daily basis. Let's make a decision. I'm going to be a self-feeder. Amen? I'm going to be a self-feeder. I'm going to go after the word. The word's going to change my life. I need the word. You say, where do I start? Where do I start? Don't start in Lamentations. Don't start anywhere to the left. Go to the right, right? Say, where do I start? Let me tell you, there. And you know, I love a good devotional. I love a good devotional. But a devotional cannot take the place of just the word. You need just the word. I encourage you, read the book of John. I remember years and years ago, I told Angel to do that. Years ago. And he listened. And he did it. And his life changed. And he has just been like this. What happened? He read the word. He didn't just read it. Then he got it on, he went to the dollar store and he got the book of John on a CD and he put it in his truck at work. And he listened to it every day over and over again. He probably almost has it memorized. What happened? He changed his diet. He changed his diet. And when he changed his diet, changed his life. You want to change your life? Change your spiritual diet. If you're starving, every starving person knows what you need to do. You need to eat. You need to eat. Get into the word. Here's my advice. Find a translation that works for you. The Message is not a translation. It is a paraphrase. All right? And I love The Message. But it goes along with a translation. You need a translation. Right? Find a translation. The NIV, you know, it's good. The NIV, the New King James, the New Living Translation. That's what I like. I like New Living Translation and New King James. Find a translation that works for you. Get whatever works for you. I used to be, get a Bible. I've relaxed. Whether it's electronic or paper, get what works for you. Whatever works for you, get it. And don't be like, I have to read the Bible in the morning or I'm not going to read it. No, you just need to read it. You know, every morning, you know, a lot of us do devotionals together. And Pastor Angel, he's the early bird. So like 7 in the morning, I get his comment on whatever devotional we're doing. And then he gets my comment at about 10:30 at night, you know? So, but it doesn't matter because we're both getting it, right? And then other people are in the middle of the afternoon. Get a Bible that works for you. Make the investment. Bibles aren't cheap. Make the investment. Make sure you can write in it. Make it your own and start feeding on it. It will change. You know, we can make things rhyme and we can tell great messages and I can wow you with some facts and we can run around the building, but all those things without a steady diet of the word, you're still going to starve. You're still going to starve. Because you know what those survivor people do? Every once in a while, they get a reward meal. But even with that reward meal, they're still starving. We need a regular diet of the word. Amen? And so let's pray together. Father, I pray for everybody here. Lord, I just thank you that this stirs within each one of us to check ourselves and find out, what do we look like spiritually? Are we starving to death? Are we starving spiritually? And if we are, Lord, help us. Remind us of the impact the word of God can have on our life. I pray for everybody here that this message stirs within you, maybe not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. That was a good message. You know, I'll just leave it there. That was a good message. Let's read. Amen. Hey, we got to go. We got to receive the offering because somebody ran over. Hey, listen, at Naples Church, they have a big stop clock in the back, right? And it's no joke, man. I think there's a hook that comes out if you run over. At least that's what they told me. And you say, some of you are like, we need one of those. No, we do not. No, we probably do. Let's receive the offering. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to just hear and to just be encouraged of the basics, just the basics that we need the word in our life. And Father, I pray for everybody here that, Lord, that this word is not stolen by the enemy, but we remember this on Monday and we make a place for the word of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.